Well, let's get your week going with what I call sound off open lines. You know, it's that time where people are just beginning to feel that strange edginess again. I'll let you sound off about it. And of course, what better way to get you going than listening to this?
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street. There's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We know the air is unfit to breathe and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to riot. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. My life has value. So I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You know, I had a conference. I had everybody stand up. I had a speech I was giving. And I had them say that three times, and it was unbelievable how it works. Sound off open lines in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Japanese area, they in Japan, northern Japan, they had a 7.3 earthquake tonight in the morning for them. Let's go to the phones, open lines now. We've got Dan in Altoona, Pennsylvania, east of the Rockies. Hey, Dan, welcome to the program. Sound off.
I was just wondering, how can we tell if our phones are being tapped by the U.S. government or any other agency, or cell phones or our home phones?
I assume that there's some devices you might be able to pick up if you want to go to one of these spy shops. They might have something. Now, for the very sophisticated, if they're spying on you, you might hear little clicks and things like that. But other than that, we probably don't know. I think they've gotten so sophisticated, you have no idea. I think, for example, a lot of cell phone calls are recorded. I don't know if there's anybody there listening to them, but I think they're recorded. But I'd first start at one of these spy shop places and then see what happens. Okay, good luck. West of the Rockies, let's go to Mike, Colorado Springs, Colorado. Hey, Mike.
George, how you doing? I've been listening to you for years.
Well, thank you, sir.
Yeah, I don't even know where to start. There's so many things going on. It's like a mountain of endless madness.
It doesn't stop.
It really doesn't stop. The question is, we have so many people, you know, reaching out, but nothing seems to be, I mean, at a low scale, maybe things are getting done as in terms of people waking up, but it's we're in so much trouble. I'm just worried about our food. I mean, I feel that there should be a choice where, because I bump into people when you talk to them and you tell them what's in their food, or if you can't, you know, pronounce the name and your ingredients, don't eat it. Some people just don't care. And I feel like, all right, well, you know, if you want, you know, food that, you know, looks like really bright and green and whatever and artificial colors, then fine. But we need to find a way to preserve our organic farming. And Natural News is the best site to go to. I mean, I mean, it's incredible. But I think it's to the point where we have to wake up real fast.
We have to, and people need to take care of themselves. That's the important thing. I was interviewed today by a publication that's coming out in the not-too-distant future. I'll tell you about that a little bit later on. But that's one of the questions. You know, what can people do to help themselves? And I think you have to be aware of all this for yourself, for your family. Let's go to Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Freeman, it's your turn on Coast to Coast. Hi, Freeman.
Hey, how's it going?
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I listen to you all the time. You're kind of like an insomniac, and I was listening to your previous guest there, you know, about the microwave and stuff. And
we're getting bombarded with that stuff.
Well, it's kind of freaky, you know, because I'm just sitting here and now, you know, I have a computer upstairs and I have one of those. Well, I had my cable company come in and put in a modem, but it runs off of a, you know, a Wi-Fi that feeds it upstairs, and I sleep in the same room with it. And I've been having these symptoms lately, and I've gone as far as to have MRIs and all that stuff there, and they couldn't find anything or anything wrong. And I'm just about to the point of going nuts, and I'm just, you know, so I'm sitting in the room with this thing, and I'm just kind of wondering if, you know, talking that Sam, if, you know, if that's part of the problem.
It might be. Back in St. Louis, I've got Wi-Fi there capabilities, and, you know, it's convenient. But sometimes you just don't know if that affects you or not. He's done a lot of studies, primarily on the cell phones. West Laco, Texas. Josh, it's your turn. Hey, Josh, what's going on?
Hi, Mr. Norrie. How are you doing tonight?
Good, Josh.
Okay. Well, there's some weird things going on in the sky. I don't know what's going on lately, but there's been, like, streaks of green lights in the sky, kind of like, you know, burning up in the atmosphere.
Well, you're probably looking at the Perseid meteor shower. That had been going on.
It was before any of that happened. Like, I was hanging out with my friend Eric, right?
And all right.
One time we saw a streak of light just appear in the sky, and as it was going for about what appeared to us like about maybe like 50 feet, it turned off, reappeared 100 feet away, like within a second, turned off again, and then reappeared going in an opposite direction. And then the other day, my friend Christopher Aguita, if you're listening, buddy, I got on.
Yeah.
He saw a red streak in the sky yesterday while we were waiting for the meteor shower, but he saw it go up into the sky. So, I mean, There's just a lot of weird things we've been seeing going on lately out in the skies. And I called recently, actually, about a few months ago when you were talking about ghosts on your show, Mr. Norrie.
Mm-hmm.
I told you how my family had been followed by a ghost. And actually, I was hoping to try and go to the East State Penitentiary ghost hunt.
Well, I was out there.
Yeah, I wanted to try and go to that so bad, but I couldn't go out there. But just to try and get to talk to Mr. Aaron Goodwin, because I tried asking the Ghost Adventures crew, you know, what it could be that could be following my family and I. But I had done more research, and I think it might be due to a miscarried baby on my mother's side. But recently, actually, I moved into a house that's had one or two deaths in it. And just the other day, where someone actually has died on the property, I saw a black shadow.
Wow. Are you the only one who sees this, Josh, or are other people seeing it there?
I've been the only one to see things here. Like, one time I got out of the shower, and there used to be a door in this doorway, but the last people who lived in this house broke it down, and there's a cloth here. Pardon me. There's a cloth here, and you could see light through, right? And as I was coming out of the shower, I saw the light get blocked when there was nothing in its path that could have blocked it, because it's a light high in the, you know, in the ceiling. So, I mean, I don't know what I've been...
Well, I tell you what to do. Send me an email. I will send it off to some paranormal groups, and we'll see if they can find somebody in your area. A lot of the times, they kind of confine themselves to where they are. You're in Texas, so there might be some groups out there for you. Harlan, Kentucky, east of the Rockies, it's John's turn on Coast to Coast. Hey, John, go ahead.
Hey, George. Hey, man, I tell you what, the stars have aligned tonight. It seems like forces have been trying to stop me for 2 weeks to tell you the story.
Well, you made it through, so let's hear it.
2 weeks ago, I was listening to you on the radio, and I'm a security officer, and most of the times I sit out in the middle of nowhere and watch mechanical equipment and things like that.
To make sure it doesn't get stolen?
Yes.
Okay.
So normally I just lay back and watch the sky, because I've always, you know, like watching stars. Well, I see this big luminous orb in the sky, okay, about the size of a dime. But I can't judge the distance how far it was. Just gently floating through the sky. Well, I got this big old mag light, so curious, you know, I just flash it a few times. Well, this thing starts zipping through the sky, back and forth, and then I probably watched it probably about 5 minutes, and then I started seeing, you know, what I thought to be shooting stars. And then one shot over my head. And I'm like, can shooting stars do that? And then I kept on watching this, and the biggest orb disappeared. And then as I was leaning back, it, you know, probably about 15 minutes probably passed by, and I seen a shooting star, what I thought was a shooting star, fall down in the front of my vehicle, like in the distance. And then...
How far away from you?
I would say at least a mile or two or something like that.
Okay.
And then as it was falling down, it shot right toward me. Okay? And I had the worst of fear just shoot right through me. And then it started pulsating, and then it flashed. Okay, by this time, it was 4 a.m. And next thing I know, it was 5 a.m., and I had this headache that just wouldn't go away for nothing.
Were you missing time?
Yeah, I mean, I had an hour missing. And this is what's so crazy. See, I've been a security guard for 7 years now, and probably around 4 or 5 years in that same spot, I've seen a smaller luminous orb flying around, and I actually had captured that on my cell phone video.
And I bet you've never had missing time before, have you?
One time before. And this story beats this story, George. Okay, this is the first time this is actually more hours missing on this time. And it was a different area. I was sitting there, and I started noticing the humming. And as I was looking up, because I thought it kind of sounded like a helicopter, but it wasn't. It was different. And I seen this red light coming over this mountaintop. And then as I was noticing, there was two lights, and the two lights were separated by at least an inch or an inch and a half. And as I was watching this, I was going to grab my phone and record it. Well, the noise started turning into a vibration, and I kind of put my hands on the wheel, and I could feel the vibration coming through the vehicle and through my arms, and a sense of fear come a hold of me. I couldn't move, George. I couldn't move. All I could do was look at this thing. And this thing was probably about 100 to 200 feet from me. And where I was sitting, I was sitting on top of a mountain, but it kind of went down to a valley.
That is kind of scary. Did you see any structure to this thing?
Well, as it was kept on floating over the valley, it kind of had this light. It looked like underneath it, it was like a white light. And then it shined out like a spotlight, like a super bright spotlight. And it had just shining over the mountainside. It was looking for something. And then it kind of did a rotation.
It was looking for you.
Well, when it kind of made that little flip motion, I noticed, George, there was three lights. And get this, it was in the light, the red lights lined up in the shape of a triangle with a white light in it, okay? And at that time, it was about 2 a.m., okay? I got off that morning at 6. I don't remember anything after 2 a.m.
All right, so this is what's happening to you, John. For some reason, you're missing time, whether it's 1 hour or 2 hours, and they're probably doing something. I mean, that's what happens. If you can't remember the space between, something's happening to you. So you better monitor that. For some reason, they're following you. Let's take a few more calls, and we've got a break coming up already. Steve in Carlsbad, California. Steve, welcome to the program. Go ahead.
Thank you, George, very much. Yeah, you're opening with that. I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take in any more quotes from that movie.
So apropos, isn't it?
Well, you know, I've been studying one issue I've been trying to promote, and I've noticed that people are afraid of their government, and this is the number one force behind their apathy. We feel futile, that they will never leave enough evidence, they'll never get caught, and even if they do, all the judges in between justice will throw the thing. And I want to say there is something out there that we can all come together over and have power with. LennonMurderTruth.com.
What is it?
LennonMurderTruth.com.
Carl Lennon?
No, John Lennon.
Oh, John Lennon.
LennonMurderTruth.com. It'll show what we can do about what's wrong with the world.
All right. Interesting. I've heard that before, I think. Let's go to Dana in Roseville, California, west of the Rockies. Hey, Dana.
Hi, George. Thanks for taking my call.
You too.
Long-time listener, first-time caller. I have a Ouija board story that I thought you would be interested in.
All right. Take it. Let's go.
Well, my first experience with Ouija boards, I was young, 8, 9, 10 years old, best friend, didn't know anything about it. Nothing ever really came from it. It was her mom's Ouija board. But, you know, got older, started hearing more and more things. And you know what? Okay, I'm just going to stay away from this. Not interested. And then started listening to you and, you know, hearing more and more and more stuff. And my husband and I, we talk about it, and we were like, nah, no worries about it.
Yeah.
About a year ago.
George doesn't know what he's saying. Don't worry about it, right?
Well, no. I very much took that to heart. However, I have teenage kids who are interested in the paranormal.
And so they think it's fun, don't they?
Curious. Fortunately, with that kind of stuff, they do listen to mom and will, you know, take heed sometimes. So just about a year ago now, a Ouija board passed my path when it was myself and my daughter. My husband was away on business, and it was kind of dangerous stuff going on. And she really wanted to try it. And I, you know, put up the general arguments, not a good idea, we don't know what's going on, we can't guarantee anything. So.
But you broke down, didn't you?
I did. But what I did first was I said, she and I said several prayers, gathering white light to us, trying to make it as safe a possible situation as possible.
Okay.
So, we started asking generic questions, and I focused on yes, no, and timelines. Bad time in my life, would I get a job, how long would it take, you know, giving really specific timelines, 4 weeks, 6 weeks, and we were getting yes, no answers. And I think we asked something about who was there to help us, and it was just a few letters, and it didn't really make any sense. When started asking how, you know, would my husband be okay in the business that he was doing, and, you know, would he be safe and whatnot, and it was cool. And both my daughter and I, the very first question, it was, you know how the placard's supposed to move around, and you know, you're not touching, or you're touching it, they're touching it, and you say that, oh, no, I didn't do it. Oh, I didn't.
It was out to trick you.
Well, okay.
Hold on for a second. I want you to finish the story when we come right back. Well, on our next Coast to Coast program, Winfrey joins us, the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. Looking forward to that. He's got a fantastic mind. We'll be back in a moment. More, of course, open lines as you sound off on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, back with you, open lines. Let's go back to Dana in Roseville, California. So you started playing with the Ouija board, Dana. Your daughter did as well. I'll let you pick it up from there.
Yeah, we were just asking some real generic yes, no questions. And I really got an impression, and I'm kind of sensitive in the paranormal sense, that whatever was responding to us wasn't evil, for lack of a better word. That it was just kind of really almost mundane, if you can call paranormal mundane.
Or a ghost mundane.
Right, exactly. So, and we were talking about what was going on in between questions and just, you know, kind of pacing ourselves. And at one point, we asked, I don't remember exactly what happened, but we asked, is the good spirit still with us? And it was an immediate no. And my daughter and I both took our hands away and stopped what we were doing. And I looked at the clock, and it was midnight.
It started taking an ominous turn for the worse, didn't it?
And I stopped. I'm not going to expose my daughter to, you know, unnecessary risk. And I really felt that up to that point, we were getting, you know, positive, okay answers.
It was drawing you in.
It could have been. It could have been. But it hit midnight, and we got a really firm no. I cut it off. And when I told my husband about it later, he was really rather upset with me. But I was not going to also risk her, you know, kind of sneaking off with the Ouija board and experimenting on our own.
Well, was he upset because you stopped or because?
No, because we did it.
Because you even tried it.
Yeah, but it was a kind of a lesser of two evils as far as a parental decision goes.
So what lesson have we learned here?
Stop messing around with them.
Don't play with the Ouija boards. Let's go next to Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Rogan's with us on the wild card line. Hi, Rogan.
Hey, George, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Not too bad. All right, I got a little bit of a crazy story. I about 2005, I was going to the University of South Florida in Tampa, and I was dating this girl. She was going to University of Florida in Gainesville, and they're about an hour 45 minutes from each other. And at the end of the week on a Friday night after I'd hang out with some of my fraternity brothers, I'd go up there, you know, spend some time with her at the end of the night. And I'm driving up north on I-75 one night. This is in January of 2005.
Okay.
And about 15 minutes outside of Gainesville on the east side or the west side of the road, there's this big red barn looking store. It says Wayne's Christmas Store. And I'm just thinking to myself in January, what does a Christmas store do in January? You know?
Yeah.
And the person in my passenger seat leans across my lap and points to the top of my window and just says, look. And I you know, poke my head over and I shrug and I turn to him and I go, what? And then I realized nobody was in the car with me.
What do you mean nobody was in the car with you?
That for that two seconds that this silhouette, and I remember it so vividly, this forearm. I saw the silhouette of the person in my passenger seat, but the forearm, I'll never forget this, was turned upwards. They reached across with what I would assume is their right arm. Their bare forearm was turned up towards my face.
Well, who did you say what to?
Exactly. For 2 seconds, it did not occur to me that I was alone. I felt perfectly normal that somebody had been with me the entire time. It struck me as odd.
Wow.
Yeah, it scared the crap out of me. As soon as I realized it and I looked back and shrugged, I said, what? I turned the lights on in my car. I called my big brother and my fraternity, you know, flipping out like, what the hell's going on? Like an 8-year-old kid, I had the lights on all the way till I got to Gainesville. And here's where it wraps up, though. Have you ever heard of Shadowlands.org?
I have not.
It's a paranormal website, you know. So, you know, take it as it will, you know, the validity of my opinion on the matter. But I was looking for hauntings in the state of Florida, and they have an alphabetical listing state by state, city by city. And I started out in Davie, Florida, which is a suburb of Fort Lauderdale where I'm from.
Did you try to hit them all?
Well, yeah, I started reading down the list, and I go from Davie, you know, and I get down to Gainesville, and there's this description. It says Wayne's Antique Store, and there's a description of large red barn-like structure, and I was like, wow, this is way too creepy. So I click on the link, opens it up, and there's a picture of the building, and this was like 6 months after the fact. So it, like, came full circle, and apparently this place, which was abandoned at the time, it has since reopened. But
as a Christmas store?
Yeah, Christmas and antique store.
Ah.
And apparently there's a haunting on both levels, one in the attic and one on the first floor, two separate hauntings in this building. And thinking back on it, you know, I wasn't sure what to think at the time, but I haven't gone back since. I've been meaning to for years, but I'm also kind of, you know,
well, next time, go back with somebody really in your car. That way you won't have to worry about that again. Thanks, Rogan. Let's go to David in Cornerville, Arkansas, on the wild card line. Hey, David, welcome to the show.
Hello, sir.
Hey, how are you?
I'm mad as hell.
And you're not going to take it anymore.
I'm not going to take it anymore. I've been taking steps. I'm not going to take it anymore. And everybody that's been standing in my way is going to get out of my way because I'm not taking it anymore.
What's pushed you over the edge? If you're at the edge.
For renal carcinoma. I've had it for 5 years now, and I've had all of their treatment that I'm going to take. I got Mr. Henderson's book right here in my hand. I finally decided to do what he said, and the results have been dramatic. But what I did was I just started eating fresh fruits and vegetables, and my clear,
You're fighting this, your immune system's fighting it yourself, aren't you?
I have always guarded my immune system. I mean, maybe not. I've always been reckless in a lot of ways. I've always been a marathon. I've always been known for hanging on. I've always been known, for being the last guy out there. So,
David?
For 5 years now.
Did you go through the chemo and the radiation and all that stuff?
No, sir. No, sir. I got lucky. My cancer, when they did, they said it'd come back. So anyway, when I came down to the office, they told me that really they didn't have anything for me, that science didn't have, they didn't have nothing because chemo has a 0% chance rate with this. Not a 2%, but a 0% chance.
Jeez, what they do, just give up on you?
And radiation does not work. So they said that they couldn't do those, and they told me to hook up with Sloan Kettering or Indy Anderson or anybody, that was running a trial and try and get in the trial because that was my only hope.
Well, good for you. I'm glad you fought the good fight, and that's the important thing. You know, we get text messages, and Tom has one for us. What do you have, Tommy?
Hey, George, this is from Jerry in Augusta, Georgia. He says, hey, George, I'm 23 and so scared growing up in this world. Shootings, high gas prices, and mean people is all I see. What are we to do?
Welcome to the world of the living. That happens. It always has, always will. You just got to make the best out of it and pull through it.
It's scary when the young people start to think like that.
Yeah. Well, it's everywhere. Tom, we've had these things going on since I was a kid. Nothing's changed.
Yeah, but when it affects the next generation, then you really start to think about it.
We have a lot of evil people on this planet, and we have a lot of great people on this planet. And we have to just keep forging ahead. You can't give up.
I think great will win.
Eventually.
Yeah.
Eventually. First-time caller, James in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Hi, James.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, George Norrie and Coast to Coast AM. It doesn't get any better than that.
You have, by the way, you've got a great voice.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
You do radio down there?
I don't. I'm trying to start a internet-based ministry.
Oh, really?
Yes, sir.
Good for you.
I'm known as the unnamed apostle here locally. And in early 2003, I witnessed what I believe to be a representation of the Most High God in a dark cloud. If you look throughout the Old Testament, there's many places where it talks about God representing himself in a dark cloud. But, the most misconstrued word out there, I think, George, is the word apocalypse. And of course, there's going to be cataclysmic things that come along with the revelation of God, but it means revelation or reveal. I could run down the four writers of the apocalypse and revelations for you, but I don't think too many people are really going to like what the answers are to those particular things.
Bill Cooper knew.
I'm sure he did. That's a true loss of a true hero there. The same people killed everyone from John Kennedy to John Lennon, Martin Luther King, any and everybody you can ever think of that spoke of peace and truth and things of that sort. That's just something they can't allow to happen or exist in this world,
Well, as a matter of fact, you bring this up. Richard Belzer is going to join me on Monday, and you all know him. He's a comedian. He also plays Robert Munch on the Law and Order show, and he's just written a new book about everything that you have just said, James, and so we're going to have him on for that, and good luck in your ministry. Let's go to Jeff, truck driving in the state of Washington. Hey, Jeff, it's your turn.
Well, good evening, George.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good.
a long time since I've talked to you. We did chelation at the same time.
That's right. It works.
Yes, it does. Hey, I've got a couple things. I'm a contract truck driver. I call for the Postal Service, but I do want to mention a couple things that can really upset us at night is people will not dim their lights anymore. You know, they blind us. They'll get behind us with their high beams. They don't realize that they're blinding us in the cab of the truck.
Yeah, well, I don't know what they have their high beams on in the first place. Why do they even need them?
I don't know. Another thing is you won't believe the texting that goes on. I go to Seattle, and you can look down in the traffic at the cars when I hit rush hour. Probably every fourth person at least is texting as they're driving in rush hour traffic.
They're texting away like crazy. And this is a story I've told before. I saw a couple come in for dinner at a restaurant here in California, and they didn't talk to each other for the entire meal. And they each had their smartphones, and they were texting away, not with each other, their own friends. I mean, it was crazy. Nobody talks anymore. Put those things away when you go out. You know, look at them when you go to the bathroom. Let's go to a Troy truck driving in Texas, east of the Rockies. Hi, Troy. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, man? I've been trying to get a hold of you for a long time.
Glad you got through.
Yeah, I tell you, I've listened to you ever since you first came, since you first got on the radio.
I can't believe it's been 10 years already.
Yeah, I know it, man. Check it out. I got a story about absorbing energy from thunderstorms. And it's going to be a little out there, but...
All right.
When I was about 6 or 7 years old, I had an issue. I was in my room, you know, playing with my He-Man set and everything. It was a real bad, severe thunderstorm that night. Well, right outside my window, a lightning had struck right outside my window. Well, I saw a flash of light, and I don't know if it was my imagination or what, but I had a voice had come to me. Well, outside of that, when I actually was able to see again, the corner of my He-Man castle was melted. And I guess a few years later, I guess I was at a babysitter's house or whatnot, and I was outside, you know, playing with the basketball, and all of a sudden, everybody on the porch starts yelling at me to get on the porch. So I go ahead and I drop the basketball, and no sooner than I got on the porch, lightning struck exactly where I stood.
Oh.
Yeah. And from that point on, I have never been able to get caught up in a severe thunderstorm. I love thunderstorms with all my heart. I want to get caught in them sometimes, you know. I just love it. But every time one is coming my way, or if I'm heading towards one, it dissipates, or it splits in two, or it goes a different direction. And every time there's a severe thunderstorm around, I'm like jacked for days.
That's. Do you affect street lights too? Do they go on and off when you walk by it?
No, I do have a thing though with, you know, static electricity and all that. But it's really the weirdest thing. And you know, this is a little bit out there. You know, when I told you about, you know, the voice that had come to me. You know, like I said, I don't know if it was my imagination, but it has stuck with me my entire life. I'm 33 now, and. They told me that I was a key part to something big in the future, that I will be guided in a direction that I needed. And I tell you, I've experienced a lot of weird things in my life that there's definitely something more to life and, you know, more to what's going on in this world than we fail to realize. And, you know, you can go to religion and everything else, back to ancient Sumerians. You know, he was talking a lot about that stuff on Friday. I tell you, there's definitely something to it.
Oh, something's happening, no doubt about that. I'm fascinated by this gift you've been given, though, to be able to control these patterns, these weather patterns. Let us see. Diana, we've got a few moments here for you in Santa Barbara. Hi there.
Hi there. Hey, today on public radio, they were discussing the spy drone.
Yep.
And, you know, of course, bringing up everybody's objection, you know, the privacy and all that. But then they, you know, said, well, you know, this guy that was for it, he's all, well, they have their objections, but just wait. When there's a little kid lost or something like that, they're going to change their mind and stuff like that. And, you know, for all these good reasons. But I think that's just the way they do that. It's always for your, you know, there's always going to be a good reason for it. But then, you know, at what cost? Our privacy.
Well, see, that's what they do. They'll use a good reason as an excuse in order to get us to think, oh, this is just great. Whether it's a red light camera on a traffic signal or a drone or something, they'll pick a great reason that it was beneficial to mankind. And we'll all think, oh, this is wonderful. And then they come in with all the other things that they're planning to do with these things. I just think life was easier and simpler a long time ago without all these other things, and we seem to get by. Somehow we can't seem to get by with these anymore. I don't know. Anyways, we've had Sound Off open lines for you tonight, this hour on Coast to Coast AM. Thanks to all of you who participated in the program, and special thanks to our staff, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, Stephanie Smith, George Knapp, John B. Wells, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.